Welcome, everyone, to Calvary Baptist Church. Hope everybody's been having a good day today, good week this week. And y'all forgive me for coming in here on two wheels. It has been a busy week, been a good week, but the last 20 minutes has been rather difficult. But anyway, just dealing with a non-related church situation. But I have an eBay store where I sell sports cards and all, and got an unhappy customer. Believe that. So anyway, but so we dealt with that, and so you start doing stuff like that, you put yourself in a whole another category. But anyway, got that straightened out. Everybody doing all right? Good, good. Good to see everybody this evening, and good to see Hunter in the house with us tonight. So how are you doing? You doing good?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good, Living and learning. Living and learning. Well, I don't think we're ever going to get above the learning stage, are we? But anyway, it is definitely good to be here. We've got little bit to talk about as far as prayer requests and updates, and then we will get into the lesson here in just a little while after Brother Jeff brings a song for us. But we went to Piedmont on Tuesday and visited with Miss Christie. Then I got a message today that they were released and went home. So she's definitely been through it. That marked 7 days she was in there. And, of course, she was just dehydrated there at the end, dehydrated, depleted of electrolytes and all those things that we need. And so evidently they nursed her back to health in that area, and she's home. So praise the Lord for that. And then we were down over at Northside today, and Miss Marianne had her knee operation, did good, and already, I believe, back at home. And so she did good on that, and praise the Lord for that. She's, as you ladies know, she's ready to do stuff here at the church. She's ready to go on outings. For those who've been on outings with her, I talked to her yesterday, last night, and she says, I got to get my knee replaced. I got to get it ready. I got to get it fixed, equal with the other, because I got a lot of plans with our ladies, places to go, and things to talk about. And you already know, Miss Marianne, she loves to do things, and I praise the Lord for that, kind of rounding you ladies up and spending time with you and doing things. That is awesome. But let's continue to remember her in her recovery process. And, of course, everybody on our prayer list, let's remember our children's home, Brother Snyder and his recovery from his back, Helen Bennett and the new hernias that she has. Brother Larry, he actually has surgery coming up in April. And so let's remember him. For that, Brother Jeff Hodges' sister and her heart, how's she coming along with that?
Still waiting on doctors.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Sister-in-law.
Better get that right. We definitely want to have that right. All right. James and Shirley Townsend and their daughter, Christy, that has diverticulitis. Let's continue to remember her. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Harold Dolph, Don and Carla, Rich. And yesterday I was texting with Stephen, the son-in-law, and they're going to be in town. I'm not telling you anything y'all don't know. Mary Lee Ellen, but on the 16th, I believe it is, of April. And I asked Brother Stephen if he would preach that night, And so he's always so kind whenever they come in town. He even asked me, he says, "Brother, if there's anything I can do for you, you know, to relieve you a little bit, let me know." I said, "Well, since you brought it up, you know, if you'd like to." And so we're looking forward to that. But let's remember their family as well. And let's remember the Bendys over in Alabama, Miss Claudia, and her lungs, Randy and Diane Ely, the Dalys, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins. Was exchanging messages with Rusty this afternoon, and they're doing good. His mother and her probably trying to get her into a facility right now, and then with Rusty's work and all, just a lot going on, as you already know. Rusty says he's doing good. He says he's lost about close to 50 pounds. He says he drinks spinach juice every morning. I said, "Go ahead." I said, "Go ahead." Spinach juice, and then for lunch, him and Chris, they have some kind of protein meal. I'm good with the protein meal, but I'm not Popeye yet. I don't like to me spinach like that. But anyway, so he's doing good on that end. That solved a lot of health problems for him. So that's wonderful. Hope to see them soon. Let's remember Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson over at the Powder Springs Rehab Facility, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, Dawn Capistrano and her ankle. Let's remember that. And it seems like there's others. I just got to wait till things subside a little bit in my mind and they'll come to me. But maybe someone here has a request or a praise to mention, something to say. I think I covered all the grounds pretty good. Hassan, was that you that called me today?
Yeah, I wanted to know if you had turned. And I was called for prayer too, but you didn't.
Thank you.
I just left a message. I only call one time.
That's okay. Hey, you can call twice if you need to. Did you get my text message? Okay, good, good. Good deal. I thought that was you that called me.
I saw the number on the church phone.
Yes, sir. Hey, that's fine. That's why it's there. If you got any questions or anything. All right. So remember that. Anybody? Anything? Looks like we're going to have some warming temperatures tomorrow. It's trending today. Looking forward to that. All right. Well, let's just remember our services on this coming up Sunday. That the Lord will do something special. And remember that Easter is right around the corner. And celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And then, of course, following holidays after that. All right. Well, that's all we have. Let's all meet. We'll have a time of prayer together in the altar, and just after that, Brother Jeff will bring a song, and we'll bring the message. going to be in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 4. Right? Psalm chapter number 4. If y'all see anybody blowing up my phone, it's an unhappy customer. So I put it on silent. I put on do not disturb. If you do, I'll call the police. So hopefully that's not an issue. That's why here lately, since Jubilee, I've been covering up the phone with that black cloth. I just don't want it to be a disturbance to anybody. And Psalm chapter number 4. Short chapter. It is 8 verses in the book of Psalms, chapter 4, verse number 1 through 8. And before we get into the scripture tonight, let's go to the Lord in a short word of prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray for the next few moments you would help us to rightly divide your word, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak through me to the hearts of your people and those viewing on Facebook and may even be listening to our live stream on our webpage. And Father, we just love you tonight and we thank you for all things and for the things you'll accomplish tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In Psalm 3, we have a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And now we're in Psalm 4. And it says to the chief musician on Niganoth, a psalm of David. So David, of course, wrote this psalm. And he gave the words to the chief musician to play on a certain stringed instrument. And so when we read this psalm, it's literally, back in those days, it was played by an instrument, by the musician, chief musician, or we could say choir director. So we, in some sense, we can see Alan here, or as Alan does on Sundays. It's a very neat thing to look at it that way. But notice, we'll go ahead and read the entire psalm. Verse number 1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." That's Psalm chapter number 4 in its entirety. And specifically tonight, I want to call your attention to that last verse, verse number 8. Verse number 8, the last verse in Psalm 4, where David says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." David said he knew how to get sleep at night. And with that thought, I want to share tonight this subject. And it's just one phrase, three words, and it is, Get some sleep. Get some sleep. Tonight you can have all of the best pillows in the world. I remember me and Christy, my goodness, how long have we had those bamboo pillows? We must have had those things for 10 years now. I don't know, maybe a little less. At the fair one year, we went through the little exhibit museum and had all when they had all their sales, things they were selling, and we saw these bamboo pillows. We seen them on TV, and the man, the way he was packing that thing and laid it under his head, it looked like he was had something that could really allow you to sleep well. And so we bought a couple of those pillows, and they worked fine. They worked fine. I could have got the same thing probably at the dollar store if they had cheap $1 pillows. But you can have the best pillows. You can have a Sleep Number bed. You can have the kind of bed where you lay down and you sink into it and you get up and there is your imprint, that memory foam. You can have all those things. You can have a BiPAP machine if you need one. You can have melatonin, and you can have all those things. But unless there's inward peace, you will not be able to sleep. And David says that he, notice again in verse number 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. He says, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So tonight, the message, the lesson is get some sleep. Get some sleep. Is anybody here tonight? You don't have to shake your head or raise your hand, but there may be someone here tonight or watching on Facebook that's going through something where when it gets toward bedtime or when you lay down, it's still racing in your head. It's still going through your mind. It's still, you're still trying to work this thing out. You're planning for tomorrow. I know that me personally, not speaking of any distress or any problems, but I know when I've had a busy day, I mean, when it's one thing after another all day long, it's hard for me to go to sleep at night because my mind is just so geared. At that point, I'm like in sixth gear, you know, and I try to gear it down and back it down another gear. And but by the time it gets to where I can put it in park, it's time to get up. And so there's times where it's like that for me. There's other times where I may be experiencing something I don't like and I have a lack of sleep. But the Bible tells us in several places that when we come to nighttime, we are to rest at ease because there is an all-watching God who never sleeps, who is watching over us, who is interceding for us, who loves us and cares for us. So what can we glean tonight? And if you're going through something that's causing your sleep to be little, I hope tonight that you can get some sleep. Look, if you would, in verse number 1, we see David's plea. David's plea. He says in verse 1, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast, past tense, enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And so no doubt this is following Psalm 3. Some of the Psalms are back to back to back in sequence. We know that Absalom, Psalm 3, his son, when he was put up on the throne, took his seat, and everything that followed that. And now we're in Psalm 4, and most believe this is following that same event. And so David is at a place where he's wrestling at nighttime to get some sleep. And he says in verse number 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, the one who I place my trust in. I'm not righteous, God, but you're righteous. And I'm calling out to the God of my righteousness, whom I place my trust in. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. The word enlarged there, it means spaciousness or to make room. David says that there were some times in the past where it was tight, where I was in dilemmas that were confined and there wasn't a lot of moving room. I don't know about you, but when I get in small spots, tight places, I get claustrophobic. You know, I'm glad, this may sound morbid, but I'm glad when we pass, our souls leaves our body. Because, I mean, just the very thought of laying there in a casket, I know that's morbid tonight, but y'all just listen to me. I don't like confined spots. I don't like tight places. I can't breathe, and I get all of those kind of feelings that come with it. David says, there were times in my past where I was in confined places. He says, there were circumstances that were pressing on me. He said, I had no elbow room. It's another thing. I mean, I got to have my elbow room. You sit at the table and you get ready to eat. Give me my elbow room. Give me my shoulder room. All right, I'm a bigger guy. I like to move. All right, David says, I got to have some elbow room here. My current situation is tight and it feels confined. Lord, in the past, you've opened things up and allowed me to move around and breathe a little bit. Lord, you did it in the past. You have enlarged me in the past during times of stress. So, Lord, I ask you to do that again. Enlarge me, Lord. Enlarge me in my circumstance. God, in so many words, David is saying, mature me. Enlarge me. Mature me. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. So what does that mean? That means when David was in distress in the past, he was in places of confinement and stress and dilemma, and God spoke to his heart because David casted his cares on him, and there was a maturing during that time. And so in like manner, I believe we can take away from this that there is a maturing here. Lord, enlarge me. You've enlarged me in the past. You allowed me to get through it in the past. Enlarge me now, Lord. Mature me now. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, enlarge me, Lord. Give me some moving room. Help me breathe, Lord. Help me cast my cares on you. I want to do that. We preached Sunday night about doubting Thomas or devoted Thomas. And we all find our place as Thomas was from time to time. Times when we're devoted and times when we doubt. And of course, the whole dilemma or experience of doubting is to mature us, to have a sharper faith. And so tonight we see that David was asking for spaces of enlargement. Is that what you need tonight? Do you need a little bit of breathing room? The Lord can do it. God, He says in His Word that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He says while we're sleeping, He is singing over us. He is loving on us. He is caring for us. He knows the future from the past and the past from the future. He has a purpose for us, a plan for us. I mean, it's easy to be preached. I know that. So hard to go to sleep at night with something on your mind. But it must be preached and it must be practiced. And so there may be someone here tonight who needs enlargement of space. David says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Look at the next phrase, the last phrase in verse 1. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Mercy, have mercy upon God. I don't deserve for you to enlarge me. There's times where I pray for the same thing. Lord, I don't deserve for you to move in my direction. Lord, I wasn't faithful to your word and prayer and reaching out to God's people like I should have been in any given situation. I wasn't faithful, Lord, but Lord, please have mercy. Give that which I don't deserve. And based upon David's first comment of calling out to the God of his righteousness and presenting his present situation and asking for the mercy of God, that's a pretty stout prayer, pretty humble prayer. T- to me, that sounds like a prayer that God will answer from one of his saints. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy. I don't deserve it, but Lord, please enlarge me. Give me some breath in my lungs spiritually. Allow me to breathe a little bit. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And so we see David's plea. So you can see how he is. Of course, I have my mind is so detailed. I can't help it. In my mind, David is walking through his house and he's trying to go to sleep. And he's laying it all out before God. And so you can see how David is getting closer to the bed to go to sleep. He starts off with a plea. And then we see not only David's plea, but we see David's pronouncement, or David's pronouncements. Verse number 2 down through verse number 5. David's pronouncements, meaning David's speech. What does he say? He says in verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? I grouped verse number 2 through 5 together because it is David's speech, his pronouncement toward the sons of men, or towards men. He says sons of men in verse 2. This could be in reference to great men, powerful men, or his enemies, and all the like under one phrase, O ye sons of men. I believe, again, he is speaking to those who followed Absalom, his son, those who stole the kingdom, and those that tried to kill him, and all of those things. He says, O ye sons of men, O you great men, O you powerful men, O ye enemies of mine, how long will you turn my glory into shame? He says, how long will you turn my glory into shame? David was the one on the throne. And so he has been dethroned, and they're trying to turn his purpose for which he was on the throne, to be God's man, God's leader, they're trying to turn that into shame. He says, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? Vanity means emptiness. And most people that try to bring someone down, they're living empty lives. They're living empty lives. You know, they're searching in life for something. They're trying this for fulfillment, trying this, trying that. But they're living empty lives. And he addresses the empty lives here. He says, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long are you going to be on my tail? What did I do to you? It's my son that rebelled, and you being his followers and the enemies of God. He says, how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? The word leasing there is falsehood. How long are you going to keep on lying against me? How long are you going to keep on, you know, saying these things, these hurtful things? So we see David's pronouncement here. He starts off in verse 1 with his plea. Then he gets in verse number 2 and he starts addressing the sons of men. Verse number 3 is his continued speech. Verse 3 says, but no. I love this. I love this. I want you to know that. But no. O ye sons of men, O ye enemies of God and me, I want you to know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Now, verse number 3 says, the Lord has set apart him that is godly. Notice the him, the letter is in low caps. The word godly, the first letter G, is in low caps. I believe that David is talking about himself and knowing God's call upon his life, knowing God's purpose upon his life. And in contrast to the ungodly, David says, you understand this, ungodly men, know that the Lord has set me apart. He has called me to himself, for his usury. He has called me for a purpose. And the Bible says, the Lord will hear when I call him. In other words, David is saying, you can do what you want to do to me. You ain't going to bring me down. You can fire all those verbal arrows you want to. They're not going to slow me down. You can fire all of those physical arrows all you want to, and all the javelins, and say hurtful things, but it's not going to slow me down, because God has called me and set me apart for a purpose. And his purpose means more than your pain that you're causing in my life. Boy, that's some good table talk right there, isn't it? We're still talking about Jubilee. That's some good table talk right there. This is a man who is getting ready for bedtime. And sometimes, he addresses the sons of men. Sometimes we have to pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them how we feel in order to go to bed. Ye sons of men. It goes from a plea to a pronouncement. He's talking to, not God here, he's talking to men. He's saying, oh guy over there that caused me that harm, I want to let you know you ain't costing my sleep tonight. I haven't been to sleep in weeks. I've got to go to sleep. So I want you to know that God has set me aside for a purpose, and whatever you do is not going to move me, so I'll just go ahead and forgive you for what you have done, and I forgive you for what you may do. But there's one thing about it, I'm going to sleep tonight. And so he addresses the sons of men, and sometimes we have to tell people. We have to tell them. It may mean picking up a phone and telling someone, you hurt my feelings. And let me say this right quick. I do want to say, if you ever get offended over something, it doesn't mean that you're ultra sensitive. It means that your heart got broke. And if you follow the Bible says go to that person that offended you and tell them. And you don't go you go for your own good. You go for your own good. David let these men have it for his own good. And so sometimes people say, oh, they're just so sensitive, always getting offended. No. Listen to what you're saying, mister. Because what I'm saying is, if you say something to me offensive, and listen, me personally, Justin Hales, I have a tough hide. I've learned through the years to get a tough hide. But there are some things you stay away from talking to me about. And if somebody ever crosses that line, I will tell them that they crossed that line, because the Bible says for me to go to them and tell them what they've done. David said, you crossed the line with me. This is eating me up. It started with my son, and that, you followers of my son, me being dethroned, and all the harsh things you're saying, I want to let you know, you ain't robbing one more night's sleep from my life. And there may be someone here tonight that may need to pick up the phone, and in the spirit of love, and based upon biblical principles, call them and say, I forgive you, or you offended me. You offended me. Or you may just need to tell somebody something that's on your mind or heart. It may not be no offense. It may be, hey, I just want to call and tell you I love you. It's been on my heart. Or, hey, I just wanted to call and tell you that you're a great person. I think a lot about you. It could be anything here. Look at verse number, we looked at verse number 2. We looked at verse number 3. But now look at verse number 4. He says, stand in awe. That phrase means to quiver. He says, quiver and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And the word Selah means think about this for a while. He says, I'm getting my heart in a condition where I can sleep. He said, get your heart in a condition where you can sleep. He says, commune. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. He's telling them, look, don't keep pursuing me. Don't keep creating and making wicked plots against me and others. He said, quiver and sin not. Stop from what you're doing. Understand what you're doing. Tremble at what you're doing. Feel the gravity of what you're doing. And when you go to bed tonight, I want you to think about what you're doing. This is David's message to whoever would hear it. And I don't know. I guess the older I get, the more of a straight shooter I'm becoming. I've always been one who is more reserved and my back against the wall in order to get me to say something to you. But really, if you just shoot straight with somebody, with love, of course, then you don't have to go through all of the, all of the games. And so David's shooting straight. He's saying it in love. He's talking about how he's feeling. Verse number 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. He says, offer righteous sacrifices. He is moving them, trying to move them toward righteousness and righteous things, away from wicked things and sinful plots. He says, put your trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And so we see David's pronouncement in verse 2 down through verse number 5. Verse 1, David's plea. And then verse number 6 through 8, we see basically it's a mix between prayer, praise, and a position. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. David, in verse number 6, I guess this would be David's prayer. Of course, verse number 1 is a prayer. But we label verse 1 his plea. Verse number 6, his prayer specifically. He said, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, he's asking the Lord for God to illuminate his presence, his love, his communion, his comforts of the Spirit. He's asking God to show his goodness upon David. He includes us, but not only himself, but others. Lord, he said, there'll be many out there that say, who will show us any good? And let me say that tonight and the day and time we live, there's a world out there that's saying, who will show us any good? I mean, who's going to come through for us? Who's going to help us? Well, the Lord is. The Lord is. And David is saying, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, show us your glory. Show us your power. Move in this situation. And not only moving in my life, but as you're moving in my life, I pray that they see you moving in my life. These sons of men he's talking about. So David's prayer is, in essence, for God to illuminate his presence, love, and communion, his comforts, the light of thy countenance. Lord, smile on us. Smile on us. So we see that in verse number 6. Verse number 7, he says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. David's praise in verse 7, he says the gladness, and so there's been a change. He's not that he is writing his experience when he's hurt and as he transitions into being helped. Not that he's writing it word for word as he's moving, but this may be a reflection of what happened. And so he says, thou hast put, it's past tense, so he's reflecting, thou hast put gladness in my heart. more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. We know that harvest time came about, and those who farmed and did those kind of things had a harvest to reap. There was a lot of joy and gladness when someone had a harvest during those days, and in our days, really. And so he's comparing that to a harvest of corn and wine. He says, God, you've made my heart so glad that it's more gladder, if I can say that way, than someone who had just did all their sowing and then praying for the rain, the watering, and the reaping, how happy they are with getting all their corn, all their wine. He said, God, I'm happier than that. I'm gladder than that. He said, God, you have in the past put gladness in my heart. God, in the past, when I was in confined places, you enlarged me. You allowed me to breathe and catch my breath. You grew me up during the troubles, Lord. And you did it in the past, and you can do it now. And that gets us right down to verse number 8. David's decision, or David's position in verse 8, I will. What will you do, David? What will you do? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. He said, I'm not just trying to go to bed anymore. I'm not struggling. You ever heard the phrase sleeping, what's it, on a bed of rocks or something? Close to that, you know, those rough nights of sleep. David emphasizes that something's changed here. He says, there's some peace. He said, I will both lay me down in peace and I'll go to sleep. He said, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. David just got to a place where he was ready to, it was more than just getting a good night's rest, of course. We just use that as our text verse. But that is the end conclusion for David. He needed to go to sleep, but it was more than that. And under that umbrella of him needing to go to sleep, he had to take care of some things. If we don't go to sleep physically, I mean, we have to sleep physically. Body will break down. You'll start to experience delirium. Does anybody know what delirium is? There's a phrase. You heard the phrase, I'm so tired, I'm delirious. Delirium's a real thing. Let me tell you about delirium. There's been some times where I've been up at a time dealing with stuff. And I'm going to stop using that phrase. I don't want y'all to think that I have a hard life. I don't. I'm blessed. But I'm trying to be transparent without going overboard. There's been times where I've been up for 2 or 3 days. Very little sleep. And you start to experience delirium. Look it up on Google or Webster's. There's hallucinations involved with delirium. Hallucinations. Memory loss. Seeing things that are not there. And so sleep is a must. And this is one area where the devil loves to attack is your sleep life. Because if he can have you up at night, if our flesh can tell us, oh, you're going down, you'll never get it solved, nothing will work out, then we have lost the battle before we start the day. Because there is a spiritual aspect to this thing that we must lock horns with every single day. And we must have our sleep. Why do you think the Lord created night and day? Okay? He created the day so that we can work while it's called day. But then he created the night because he knew our mortal bodies needed rest. And when you skip that pattern, you start to break down, and the devil loved nothing more than to do that. And so David talks about sleep, and it was his main point here, but underneath that, again, so many different variables. Again, verse number 1, his plea. Verse 2, down to verse number 5, his pronouncement, dealing with people. And then verse 6 through 8, we see his prayer, his praise, and his position. So tonight, in conclusion, let me just tell you, just get some sleep. Get some sleep. Easier preached than lived, I understand. Let me give you something to think about as we conclude. I don't want any answers or no guessing. Just think about it. When we go to sleep, what does the soul do? It's an interesting thought. Now, I've searched the Bible a little bit, and I've heard a couple of preachers talk about it. This is very intriguing to think about. When we die, when we are buried in the grave, our soul lives on. And so when we go to sleep, it's like segments of death almost. We're still alive, but it's segments when we're not conscious. But where's our soul? What was our soul doing? It doesn't sleep. We go, our soul is eternal. It will either be in hell or heaven. That's why it's so important to make sure that we know that we're saved. But our soul lives on. One guy said, one preacher said, the title of his message was, are you up at 3 and 6, 8, or are you up at 12 and 3 and 6? I said, yeah, there are times I am, but it ain't. I said, but it's the snack. And that's not good. He said, on that message, he said, are you up at these amounts of these time frames? He said, well, you know, your soul doesn't sleep. He said, God speaks to people in their sleep. And just follow me just for a moment. I think about Samuel when he was serving in the temple. And he thought Eli was calling him, but it was God. This is just something to think about. And it intrigued me so much that, and I've always heard, you hear a lot of phrases tonight. God woke me up in my sleep. Maybe there's some truth to that. I believe there is. And so nowadays, whenever I wake up, I try to trade the snack for the Bible. But now when I wake up, I actually sit there for a second and try to come to my senses, because God may be wanting to tell me something, because he's dealing with, he's watching over immortal souls or mortal souls or immortal souls in mortal bodies. He's watching over us. And so that's just something to think about along with the sleep. Very interesting. If you come up with anything, let me know. I'd like to hear it. All right, anything to mention outside of that before we go? All right, I'm going to go home and deal with customers. It's been good to be here tonight. I hope you got something from the Word. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, God, that we can sleep, Lord. We can. And sometimes it takes going through verse number one first, where David had a wrestle, had some nights of restless sleep, where he reminded himself, he reminded you, though you don't need to be reminded, that you have done things in his life so that he could be at ease, whether moving the mountain or calming the climber. Lord, you've done that for him. That's what he was saying, Lord, and tonight, I pray that you'll do the same for us. There may be someone here who is wanting a mountain removed. Lord, you can move that mountain. Or you may just strengthen the climber. And so whatever the situation may be, we just cast all of our faith and trust on you and ask, Lord, that you'd help us sleep well tonight and rise up in the morning to enjoy the day that you've made. And trust you tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, you're at liberty to go.